This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
All right, welcome back as we are live here, and it's good to be back. Good to be back. Not good to see the Astros continue to struggle today. Let's just be honest, Framber Valdez just didn't give them a chance. And, you know, you don't want to put something single-handedly on somebody, but today, I mean, you come out, baby, you walk the first two, give up a single. You throw two wild pitches that lead to runs. Like, I mean, two wild pitches with runs on third. It's 5-0 before you record an out. Taylor Trammell goes running into a wall. He has to be carted off trying to run down a triple. It was a rough go of it. So they dropped this one. But as I said before, it's only getting worse in Philly. They are in the ninth inning, and the Mariners, they now trail 11-2. 11-2, so it looks like the Astros won't lose any more on their lead as of right now. That game's almost over, two outs in the ninth inning, so they will remain in first place, a game and a half up on the Mariners. But as you said, this will be five straight losses for the Mariners. They are not taking advantage of this slide from the Mariners.
Well, the Astros are just making it harder on themselves than they need to. And look, I understand you have bad stretches and sometimes you're not playing your best ball, but this has just been awful. Whether we're talking about starting pitching issues, bullpen issues, getting the doors blown off of you and just throwing in the towel, letting go of the rope, however you want to couch it, to not being able to score runs and not swinging the bat worth a damn.
We suck.
It's a bad stretch. It's a huge missed opportunity for the Astros. Hopefully, again, with the Orioles coming up next and the Rockies right behind them, I mean, you got seven games against the Orioles and the Rockies coming up here. If you can get hot, you still have time to stretch out this lead and give yourself a little bit of grace the last 2-3 weeks of the season when you do play the Rangers head-to-head twice, the Mariners head-to-head once. Maybe you can give yourself a little bit of grace right there. If not, you know, it's going to be tough.
Yep. So that is the latest. There's the Astros take an L today, 7-2. All right, Jonathan Alexander reported this earlier today before the training camp practice today. The Texans are in regular season mode, so we are limited on what we can report out here according to their policy. Can't reveal lineups, but I'll let you know who is standing out.
Oh, no.
That was Jonathan Alexander earlier. And now, Clint, you seem to think this is your fault. You seem
to
think
I need to apologize, man. I mean, I knew we had a couple of good shows this week before you got back, but
what'd you do, dude? I really don't even know.
You heard that gold we were spitting in the last couple of days, man. I mean, Ron, I'm not sure which one pushed the Texans into regular season mode. But the Texans brass must have liked a couple of our shows. Or liked so much they decided to pull the trigger here. Couple segments we had.
Say, hey man, he's giving too much.
Well, I mean, look, when you watch through this eye, man, you watch that old quarterback eye, and you realize that, you know, the key to this offensive line fixing their protection is Ed Ingram. Is can Ed Ingram play the level of guard the rest of the way, or in the regular season that he played, you know, yesterday, or I'm sorry, Saturday, which is really allow you to have the flexibility at the tackle position. Talked about Ariante Erstery getting run at left tackle, getting beat a couple of times yesterday. But was with the ones when Cam Robinson came back. He was still with the ones. You know, that kind of thing. Talked a little bit about Lassiter playing some nickel. You know, thought that I think it's a really good weapon for D'Amico Ryans moving forward. I wouldn't make the move, you know, obviously permanently, but that's a good weapon. I think they must have heard some of that stuff, man.
Some of that good.
And I just want to apologize to Jonathan Alexander and the crew. I know. You know, we expect the Texans to go into that regular season mode after training camp, not before the week before the last joint practice, the last preseason game. It's too good. Look, man, I mean, I'll take the credit for the Texans tightening down coverage here. And it just happens, man, when you hit the nail on the head a couple of times on some critical topics like we did yesterday, man. You know, Ron, it just...
That big Nick energy.
That's right. Just draw
this. And these topics were yesterday.
Yeah.
Because that's when the mandate came down.
I mean, they were yesterday.
They listen now.
I hate that it got to a point where Mark Jonathan and company can't do play-by-play and what they're seeing at practice and things of that nature. But, hey, man, happens. Sorry, boys. Gals,
that's what a real man does.
Which one do you think it was that you nailed the bit? Like, which one do you think it was that really sent it?
I think probably the O-line one where Ursary was with the ones and Cam was didn't jump in right back in with the ones. And then because you pile on top of that, Ursary got beat a few times once by Derek Barnett. Like, there was some real detail there. I was reading reports, by the way. I didn't make practice yesterday. I was just reading reports. I think that one probably hit home a little bit. I think that's
they said we got to put a nail on it. Clint's going to give it away.
Too much.
Yep.
It's too much, boys. We got an opponent. We got to play in 3 weeks. The Rams are watching. So yeah.
I do want to know this, especially like a guy like Tyler. You've been a fan. Those of you listening, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. You can jump in on this because.
If you're going to ask for my secret sauce, man, I don't know if you're.
Well, ready. I know what it is.
Oh, okay.
But I'm to the people. Do you even care? Do you, like, honest to God, do fans
try to always care, man? What's up?
Do you but in particular, and Tyler, you obviously you're now the face that produces the place here, the face of Sports Radio 610. But before that,
true.
Before you graduated to being the face, you were a listener.
I was.
And many of you obviously are listeners to Roll. Do you all really care to know things like who the ones are? Do you care to know, like, who's getting the bulk of the reps? Or is it just like a, hey, man, we'll find out when the games start. We'll find out. Yeah. Or is that details that you really want to know?
As a fan, long before I worked here, hell yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, because I would normally believe fans would probably side with, all right, hey, man, just whatever the team needs to perform.
They're all fixable.
Which I would understand, look, but I just wonder how much people really care.
I think they care. I think they want to know. I think they deserve to know.
Yes!
I think it's... I mean, you're talking about people that are coming out here, taking days off to come out here and watch practice during training camp. You're talking about people. We're not talking about people that own companies and are spending millions of dollars on suites. We're talking about people that are spending their hard-earned money on season tickets and stuff like that. And you're that level of, like, I think there's a lot of fans out there that don't care one way or another. They don't give a rip about who's playing what position. But I think you got a level of fan. The fan that's more heavily invested, I think absolutely, especially when you have a bad season and your quarterback is the second most hit quarterback in the league. Your franchise is fixing to pay him $60 million a year. And the number one priority for your entire, like, your level of happiness this year is going to be based on the Texans. And I think there's a lot of people that are dialed into what's going on with the offensive line. Absolutely.
Because, see, in my illustrious 11-year career.
Hold on, fellas.
I have gotten myself in trouble multiple times on this.
What?
Because I generally, my mind and what I've been taught is I do the show for our listeners.
The showman.
Now, sometimes our listeners will be conversations that are uncomfortable that maybe they don't like to hear, but I want to talk about things that they have interest in. This is how Jim Nantz happens, right? Jim Nantz, don't you want to talk about the Masters?
I just got the red carpet. We're wanting to get into a controversy.
Or the Final Four. No, damn it. We're in Houston. Why the hell do my listeners want to talk about the damn Masters
right
now? When we're about to get into the NFL season.
Yeah. Tiger's right? not even
and,
playing.
And now listen, it's not the first time I've gotten in trouble about, hey, all right, you know, maybe diving in about stuff maybe that I think listeners want to talk about, or posing questions to people that I think listeners want to know about, and not just, you know, what Linda got mad at me one time for asking Lovey a question that I felt like listeners wanted to know about. So I get that. So I'm just wondering that, like, some people, like right here, Joel says, I don't care until we see what.
You are not the majority, Joel. You're not the majority.
Now, there are other people rolling in. Chris W. says, yes, I care 100% about that detail. What else we got during the summer? Love that detail. Frank said, I need to know if Ingram is on that line or Scruggs is going to be the one filling in.
Yeah, look, if I sit down at a bar when I leave this place right here and I'm sitting next to a Texans fan, within the first 2 or 3 minutes, we're going to talk about the offensive line.
It was
I just don't know. Every time I'm approached by a Texans fan, it is, hey man, can they fix that protection?
They're all fixable.
That offensive line was bad last year. What are they gonna do? And so that is the topic. And if you're, I mean, if you know, to be the eyes and ears, you know, for the fans and be able to communicate kind of what's going on at practice, I think it's important. So to answer your question, I think most of them. Now, is it going to change your day? Like, are you going to lose sleep if you don't know who's running it at left tackle? No, probably not. But if you're a Texans fan and your team just paid $12 to $14 million for Cam Robinson and drafted Arianti Arisery in the second round, and all of a sudden Arianti Arisery is playing well enough to take that $12 to $14 million guy's job,
but obviously their mindset is, well, this is something that we definitely don't want our opponent to know about yet, right? That's
still preseason, that's
probably
right?
Behind it, right?
Yeah.
The thought of we don't want our opponent to know. Although, I like for me, I don't know. I mean, hell, this is the NFL. It happens, right?
Yeah.
Like we know.
I don't imagine Baltimore wants everybody to know that Lamar Jackson failed today and hurt his right hand and his right wrist. But it's part of what happens.
Yeah. Text line also coming in. With this, don't care, just want to know if it's better. So you do care.
So you do
care. That's exactly what it is.
So you do care, right?
text line coming in with this. They have proven that they know what they're doing, so I don't need to know everything that's going on.
The offensive line looked like they knew what they were doing on the field last year?
I think what they're saying overall. They know.
Yeah, well, but it's not they know what they're doing. It's nothing disrespectful to the organization. I mean, clearly D'Amico Ryans and company knows what the hell they're doing. I mean, clearly. It has nothing to do with that. At the end of the day, there's a huge chunk of the fan base that thoroughly enjoys listening to what we do, and a big part of that is because we can. I can go to practice. You can go to practice. Tyler can go to practice and go, hey, here's what I saw, man.
First, finishing off that tweet, what am I going to do with that information anyway?
I mean, hey.
The same thing. I don't know. I mean, listen, that's your opinion. God. And there are – clearly that's not the only other person said they don't – it's not something they need to hear.
Yeah, you can feel that way, but don't try to have some kind of attitude friend on the text line about me for having the opposite, because I do care a lot. You know what I mean?
Tyler on that text line over there?
I just hate weak-ass fandom, man. Spreads quick.
Be detailed. Why do you consider it, as you said, weak-ass fandom?
Just exactly.
Look at Carlos. Look at this son of a gun.
That's gross.
Look at this son of a gun.
Wish he'd hit the ball.
That is a clean ass. Is that cream? Ivory? What a look. Anyway, why do you call it weak-ass fandom?
Ooh, I think that's that new Don Key lid.
That is, man.
ADD, my bad.
Down. But you call it weak-ass. Why is it weak-ass fandom?
Just for what I just said, not at all, because if you're like that texter, and some you are out there, you're saying, I don't care that much. I don't need to know the ones. I don't need to know the twos, first string, second string, what it's shaping up to look like. In my fandom, I'm good with that. I'm not saying that is what makes a weak-ass fandom. It's whenever you say, oh, well, I feel that way, and that's the right way, and I'm too sensitive to hear you say otherwise. That's what I'm saying.
That's fair.
Thank you.
That makes for a tough conversation, Tyler, when somebody doesn't only disagree with you, but they think you're wrong for feeling the way you do.
Yeah.
Instead of just agreeing to disagree and move.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, yeah.
Absolutely.
I just, for me, when I hear it, because I'll be honest, I think this for me, in my memory, is a little bit more aggressive than I've seen even the Texans. Like, I can remember regular seasons where people have reported the ones on the offensive line.
Yeah.
Football playing Jesse.
Like, boy, to me.
I don't remember, other than injuries.
Yeah.
I don't pay close enough attention. Maybe I should pay a little closer attention to what all is allowed and not allowed. I mean, I've never been This is the first time that I can remember.
But I think for me, it's clearly there's some serious potential things that could look different than maybe people thought going into week one.
Right? Oh, you think there's a reason why putting these into effect a little bit earlier than normal?
I think there could be some things that could be different. I think, what did you roll through?
Cam Robinson,
Ursary. They're some of those.
Does Cam Robinson play? I mean, he's a left tackle. He's not a swing tackle. Is he a guy that can play? If Ariante Ursary is your left tackle and that's what's going on at practice, is he's getting all the first team reps. You get to a point where it's like, hey, Ursary's the guy. What are they going to do with Cam? Is Titus Howard a guard or a tackle? You know what I mean? Is Blake Fisher worth a damn or not? Can Ed Ingram play guard at the NFL level, or are we going to get more of what we saw in Minnesota?
That week one, bro.
And I think I'll be honest with you. I lean heavily on what we see at practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to believe when I hear people talking about Titus Howard at tackle. I mean, we're watching from a fan's view. We went to watch the film of practice. We're watching from a fan's view from get as clear of an angle as I can. But when I hear people talking about, boy, the protection all of a sudden got better because Titus Howard was at tackle, that means something.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I would think it's important. But we're in regular season mode, baby. Let's ride.
Yeah. Coming up, a little stock up, stock down as we're getting closer to the regular season. And the Texans, whenever they announce it, they will get close to having to cut this roster down to 53. Stock up, stock down, players on the bubble. We'll discuss that coming up.
Our clients always come first.
Tootski, come on. Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Every football season brings highs.
Yes! Rock and roll!
And lows.
Every week, though, there's no excuse for that.
Oh, no.
It's time to buy or sell.
And tell them to sell!
It's Texans Stock Up, Stock Down on the Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I'm going to pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers in this racket.
That is right. Thank you, young Matthew, Mr. McConaughey.
T-Sip.
This is Stock Up, Stock Down on the Drive with Sterner and Hughley every hump day. Right around 3:20 p.m., you tune in, you hear this. And I want to start with you, Ron, the show, Hughley. Fresh off your storm chasing. Welcome back, bro.
That's right.
Glad you and the fam were safe. Didn't get messed with too bad with Aaron. But I want to start with you. Stock up in today's edition. We're talking players on the bubble for Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans, and the 2025 Texans as camp is winding down. Ron, stock up.
Yeah, I think they're going to have some tough decisions to make. But, Clint, I think we've kind of talked about it a little bit. One of the areas is depth in the defensive backfield and what that's going to look like. I don't know if he's going to clearly make this team, Clint. He may be one of those, as D'Amico said the other day, 16 practice squad spots. But I think Damon Arnette has helped himself. I know he got a pick in the game. And did some things here in preseason, but I think he's helped himself, Clint, when you look at potential guys in that cornerback room. I like him better than D'Angelo Ross, Tremont Smith, just in terms of corners. I like him better there. I don't know if he's going to make the team, but I do think his play, his stock is more up than down right now. So I do like them in a spot where they are, I think, in search of some depth because they can ill afford to have either one of those top guys go down, and they look a lot different, you know, when you take them off the field and who comes in behind them.
Yeah, I mean, look, you look at the top two. You mentioned it's one of the best combos in the game, in the entire NFL. It's a top three combo in the NFL right now, Kamari Lassiter and Derek Stingley Jr. And the reality of it is beyond them, you have a lack of experience and you're awfully young. And I look at Arnette as one of the youngsters. He's only played a couple of years in the league, although he's older with the off-the-field issues that he had. And Tremont Smith is probably your safety your safety valve there. He's probably your safety net, the guy that can play all the special teams, has been known to be a special teams guy, embraces that role, is stuck in the league there. And then you've got two true corners that in Jalen Smith, the third-round pick out of USC, and Damon Arnett, the project, the guy that they're trying to let him rebound here in Houston. So, when Pendergast and I were talking about it after Jalen Smith and Damon Arnett had the interceptions this past weekend, we were talking about it, and I'm thinking, man, Damon Arnett, I like the story. I'm always here for one of those stories. That's a future play for D'Amico Ryans. Let me get him in here, get him back to doing football things at an NFL level. Let's spend a year and let him prove that, hey, man, I've changed my ways. I'm a different dude. I'm ready to do this football thing full time and make sure I take care of everything. Be a professional full time. And then next year, maybe you've got a cornerback that you can rely on. I didn't in no way, shape, or form think it was going to be this year, but you start looking at the depth chart.
I think he's a top four outside corner.
Well, there ain't but five of them. I mean, so, yeah, I mean.
That's just saying backup. I think Smith, to me, has really shown up, the rookie.
Yep, yep.
And then I would say he's there ahead of Tremaine Smith, or if they try to kick Miles Bryant out there, whatever.
Well, when you look at Miles Bryant, when you look at Russ Yeast, and you look at some of these guys that are gonna make the team at a safety or nickel position, could also play corner. But those guys right now, you got to look at it and go, hey, with Jimmy Ward and C.J. Gardner-Johnson down, I mean – one guy's probably not going to be enough for depth purposes there. So are they spread so thin that an Arnett and a Smith can make the team at corner? I like where your head's at. His stock's definitely up.
It's up to make
what
the
he
team.
Did last year, last week.
The arrow's pointed up.
There's Ron the Show Hughley's stock up and his return to the drive right here on a Wednesday. Over to you, Clint Sterner. I want your stock up for these Texans. As we're seeing camp wind down, stock up for players on the bubble as Caserio trims the roster.
I'm going to go with Blake Fisher. I think it could not have gotten any worse for Blake Fisher the first couple of weeks of camp, and I think it was improved in the most recent preseason game. Not enough for me to really take notice, but definitely after listening to Payne and Pendergast with Nick Caserio on, he answered some questions. I believe it was him about maybe it was D'Amico in a postgame presser or in an early week presser. But either way it goes, one of the coaches or the GM or somebody was felt good about talking about, hey, you know, Blake Fisher started slow, but he's playing better now for these reasons, right? So Blake Fisher for me, again, the topic here is players on the bubble.
You thought he was on the bubble, second round pick from last year that started eight games?
Yep, it was bad enough, absolutely.
Really? Yeah.
It was bad enough early on to where, he had been demoted and they moved who was their planned guard back to right tackle. So, I think it was really bad, but it looks like it was D'Amico that said it because I remember D'Amico's comments. But it sounds like D'Amico appreciates the way he's come around the last week or so. So I'm going to go Blake Fisher stock up. Hell, it couldn't have been any lower.
I mean, from all I heard, Clint, I was only out there for one practice, you know that, and I don't watch ball like you do. But everything I've heard echoed from every member of the media in Houston on Blake Fisher this year is like, damn.
Yeah, it was scary bad the first week and a half, maybe even 2 weeks. And then in the preseason game, he's out there and he gets beat, I mean, immediately again inside. And Davis Mills would have got his clock clean, but Davis got the ball out on time, so nobody wanted to talk about it. But it was still a bad outing for Blake Fisher. And then you fast forward to this week, and it was a better performance on Saturday, so the stock's up.
Attaboy. Stock down time. You're listening to Stock Up, Stock Down on the Drive. Sterner, Hughley, we're talking Texans players on the bubble as Nick Caserio's trimming down the roster. Back to you, Ron. Stock down.
All right, I'll make it quick. Justin Watson, to me, I'm not saying he's not going to make the team, but I do think the Texans are going to have to carry extra in other areas. They may have to carry an extra running back than maybe they normally would. They may have to carry an extra safety than they normally would. And you would think, all right, where is it going to hit? I don't know if they're going to carry seven receivers. And so I think he is in question, even though they did give him $3 million. You obviously know Nico, Kirk, Higgins, Noel are going to make it. Those four, I think you can obviously then throw in Hutchinson. And I think Braxton Berrios is going to make it as well. And to me, it's are they going to keep Justin Watson? Are they going to carry him? So he, to me, I'm not saying he's going to get cut, but I think his stock is down right there. All those other guys have shown up a little bit more than him.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jawar Jordan. And really, this is a guy that his stock couldn't have been higher, I think, early in camp. With no Joe Mixon, with Nick Chubb being out briefly, with no Damian Pierce, it seems like I kept hearing the name Jawar Jordan, Jawar Jordan, Jawar Jordan. And then the reality of it is, the deeper we get into camp, all of a sudden Chubb gets back, he gets the run. During that time that it was down, it was all about Dari Agunbowale, and then now all of a sudden it was Woody Marks this past preseason game, and now all of a sudden you got Damian Pierce back. So I would say, with Pierce coming back, with Woody Marks emerging, with Chubbs getting back and healthy, I think probably Jawar Jordan is the one that's on bubble watch that at one point when stock was a little higher.
All right, yeah, that running back room is starting to get a little thickened.
Yeah, well, they let J.J. Taylor loose, so they're down one there.
Down there. All right, coming up, I caught it late. I was in Turks and Caicos, so I caught it late. I got some game notes. Got some game notes of what I watched, in particularly the first half. Some game notes from that Texans-Panthers game. You're damn right it is, Unc. We'll discuss that coming up next.
I don't give a mother duck.
How bad do you want to get out of this football hell?
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here on The Drive. See some people jumping in with the stock up, stock down. Someone said stock up, please bring back the trash cans.
The arrow's pointed up.
Again, if you're just joining us, the Astros, they fall today 7-2 in Detroit. They do get swept, but look at the positive, huh? How about the positive? Is that what Lovey said? How about some of the positive? They did score today, so the scoreless streak is over. They had not scored since Saturday. A two-run homer as Mauricio Dubon goes deep, but they did lose 7-2. But good thing for them, the Mariners, they lost two. They lost 11-2 in Philadelphia. They've lost five in a row, luckily, in this stretch where the Astros have lost four in a row. And was that four out of their last five or five of their last six, whatever it is. They lose again today, so they still remain a game and a half up in the West on the Mariners. They'll head to Baltimore for a four-game set. Someone coming in on the text line, I didn't know brothers went down to Turks and Caicos. That's cool, Ron. Well, I don't know what the hell. You would have been flabbergasted by what you saw this past week. Flabbergasted.
Hell, I'm going with 13 dudes on a vacation tomorrow.
Hey, let me tell you something.
New Mexico.
The clientele that was out at in Turks.
Now we're talking. Report back, baby.
Yeah, there's going to be some bros out there. There were some brothers, some Argentinian fellas. There were some... some Hispanic fellas.
Turks are bringing in from all over, baby.
Hey, man, if you're ever in Turks, slide down to that Noah's Ark. You see what you'll see there. It's
you get a chance to party.
Hell of a situation. Telling you, you didn't know brothers was going. So everybody I saw all week long stuck at that airport yesterday trying to get on. Yeah. Yeah, let me chill that one out. Yeah, it was plenty of bros.
I wanted to.
Plenty of bros. Did I tell you? Hey, we I have to tell you about this wedding we crashed. On accident.
You went wedding crashers?
It was an accident.
Oh, hell yeah, please.
We were in a swimming pool. They had the wedding right behind it.
We got to hear about that in the 4 o'clock hour or something.
I was blasted drunk, too.
I believe it.
Anyway, let me give you my game notes here, fellas. I just want to throw a few things out as I'm watching a game that I jotted down. And I had not talked to you guys. I didn't hear any of the explosive, amazing content that you gave yesterday. That gold, as you put it, Clint.
Yeah, I should have saved it, man. Spared the media.
But here it is. Texans-Panthers game notes. First thing for me. Ariante Ursary is this team's future and current left tackle. I just wonder if they know it.
If the Texans know it?
If the Texans, not only if they know it, if they're willing to do it week one. Are they willing to do this? Because, Clint, I do know it means, and you said it earlier, I don't normally look and think Cam Robinson. Now, that's a swing tackle. That's a guy that can go in and play the right or the left side. And what do you do with Cam Robinson if he is not your starting left tackle? Because you didn't pay, at the very least, $12 million for him. What do you do if he's not your left tackle? But to me, clearly, we've watched two games of Ariante Ursary. We've watched him in joint practice. As you said, he got beat a couple of times yesterday. But overall, he seems to embody everything they want. And, I mean, I think the future is here. That's what it looked like to me. Also, I feared for Bryce Young's life when he scrambled, and I thought Alshire had a clear shot at him. And I thought, oh, God, he's not going to let up. He doesn't give a damn that it's preseason. Get your ass down, Bryce.
Bryce
get your ass
fella.
Down. He got down, and as we know, Azeez will go on down to the basement with you. There's no just touching him when he sees you go down.
He was parallel to the ground,
yep,
wasn't he?
Yep, and he went, he went down too. I saw him break away, and I saw Zero on a beeline. I said, oh, hell. Get your ass.
It's in the
Bryce,
game.
Get your ass down. Get your ass down. Speaking of Azeez, I don't know about that shag he's got going right now. I don't know if y'all caught him with that helmet off on the sideline.
I did. I caught it, and I didn't know. I did not know. I didn't have a name for it.
Yeah, it's a shag. Yeah, when he's got the long cut, and he is clearly on purpose giving from a almost a white perspective of the mullet. But
yeah,
this is the black mullet, which is called the shag. Mm-hmm. Very, very popular in the 80s, early 90s. That shag cut, I didn't know we were bringing that back.
Yeah. Fix your wig, man.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, clearly you do. You just don't want to say it.
I don't love it. I don't love it. Maybe if we had that thing, and maybe I need to see a little bit more of it, and it felt like it was a strong taper on the sides, maybe some parts or something on the side to add something to it. But it was, I said, oh. That's a choice.
I thought it was a very interesting look. I'll be honest with you, I'm not a fan either.
Yeah, I'm not.
I mean, I'm sure it looks. I mean, there's some guys that can pull it off in a suit or something, but fresh off the field, helmet off.
Yeah, maybe helmet off. Yeah,
it wasn't hitting for me. Now.
Maybe he has it. We'll see. I don't. It wasn't doing it for me. Danielle Hunter, that spin move he put on that young man in that first quarter. Them two. Hey, him and Will, they are going to be hell on wheels to handle this year.
Yeah.
Those two are already ready to go. You could tell Will has improved big time. I heard D'Amico talking about it. I heard Nick with Payne and Pendergast talking about it as well. But that spin move to Neil hit, I mean, that cat had no chance at all. Christian Kirk's going to catch like 90 balls if he stays healthy. With the way they run offense, this the quick stuff that they're doing in there, bam. And, I mean, you can just see it. Like, those little 5 to 10-yard routes, he is going to kill teams on it. And you could start to see CJ's even being programmed, hit it as
Get
soon
it
as possible.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. No question. I that's one thing that I've offensively, we talk a lot about them struggling against our defense in practice. But they've stayed true to what it is they want to get accomplished, which is a quarterback that's getting the football out, that's getting the ball in the hands of his playmakers as quick as he possibly can, an offensive coordinator that's mixing it up and doing some different things, running the football, obviously, but in the pass game, just protecting the offensive line, protecting the quarterback, and using these guys like the Christian Kirks, even the Jalen Knowles, the quick slants to Nico and Xavier Hutchinson that we've seen. You know, getting the ball out of his hand, I agree with you, Ron. It seems like they are committed to that, even though it was a little bit of a struggle early in camp.
C.J. Stroud was pretty good, but a little off on some throws.
The go route hurt.
The go route to Nico right off the bat. Shout out to Higgins for making that catch, but he had to dive to go get it. Usually one of the secret sauces for C.J. is he puts the ball in a space where guys can keep running and can turn up. And it wasn't bad, right? He put the ball right on the money for the touchdown to Nico.
Yep, that was beautiful.
And made a couple of good throws as well, but just a tad off just a tad off. Played well, but just a tad off on some of those throws. We're just used to crossers, anything like that, that is catching it and yards after the catch. And he allows you because,
as he put it,
what does he call himself? A ball placement specialist.
That's right. That's right.
That's what he called himself. The chain gang guys, easiest job in America right now. They don't even have to stand.
Made easier with that.
They don't even have to stand out there and hold it now. They just stand over there just watching games. They just over there as a backup to technology that probably won't fall apart. They just sit over there just watching games with free tickets.
By the way, that technology took a little longer than I think I expected.
Yeah, I thought it'd be more tennis-like. Quick.
Well, it took a little longer than I thought. Maybe they're just trying to figure it out, but we'll see.
Yeah, what's the dude, McMillan? Tech? He's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
double D's get me every time.
He's going to be good for the Panthers. He created some separation. It was just one of those situations. Just because the balls weren't completed doesn't mean it was necessarily on him. There was one that Bryce threw high on. Andy Dalton got hit in the arm with a pass rush, or he had beaten, I think it was Stingley, up the sideline. They may have picked him up a good one. I thought separation would be a big problem for him with his size, but he created a lot of separation in that game.
They've been impressed with him. I know I didn't get a chance to see in the joint practice a lot of our defense work, their offense work. I know Seth did, and I heard his comments about the offense. He was really impressed with him. And then what's the big boy's name that rides the horses, the receiver they took in the first
Xavier
round?
Xavier Leggett.
Yeah, Leggett, and they got a little Hunter Renfrow over there as well. So they got some targets.
Yeah, I had forgot about Hunter. I saw him in that game. I saw there's 13.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whoever was calling the game said Hunter Renfrow, one of the best route runners all time.
That's aggressive.
All time. Okay, all right. Woody Marks seems like the real only change of pace back that they have. I'm looking at Nick Chubb. I think Nick Chubb's going to be an effective number two back just by what he's showing. Maybe we'll see him get his legs and feel better as it goes on, but he looked like an effective number two back. But it really does feel like him and Mixon's styles are similar. And Woody Marks feels like the only real change of pace back that they have that'll be in the rotation. Because I think even Damian Pierce, his is more physical and not just take off. And he can hit his head on the goalpost, but he's one that takes him a little bit to get going. But Woody Marks looks like the real only change of pace from the backs.
Well, the one thing that you think would hold any of these running backs back, the young guys, being pass protection and being able to handle the entire playbook. And it looks like the entire group of running backs, including Woody Marks, have handled it and passed with flying colors. And this past week, in pass protection was good at times. And so it looks like, guys, I mean, if they can get Joe Mixon back healthy, again, we're not privy to the information. I have no idea how bad the Joe Mixon injury is. But if you get Joe Mixon back, you got a 1-2 punch of Joe and Nick Chubb, obviously. And then the rookie that you moved up, got aggressive and drafted, appears to be handling the NFL playbook and handling at least a preseason and a training camp in impressive fashion. So it may work out perfect for Nick and D'Amico in terms of their running back room coming together nicely if they can get Joe healthy.
Yep. So those are my game notes right there.
Like them. Well done. Well done.
Yeah, man. All right, man. Well, people done saying that Shaq cut is popular in Dallas. They need to stop it.
Not a fan, huh?
No, not a fan. Hey, man, each is your own.
There it was. Glory hole.
Not a lie. Just need to stop it. That wasn't it. What you got coming up?
Well, we got to talk about a spot. Look, I know he's been up for manager of the year and all this. And then, look, the Astros, it's been rough. And I'm not going to blame it on a spot. But yesterday, late in that game, that tight ball game, not the one we just watched where it was over before Fromberg took stepped off the mound in the first inning. Not that one. The one last night when Hunter Brown went out there and was nasty. Yeah, man. I don't like what I saw from Joe Espada. I don't like what I saw from the Astros late on a couple of different occasions. And we got to cuss and discuss it. There ain't no doubt about it. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.